And this morning, I have just a really special way to honor my mom. This is my mom. 81 years old. Yeah, look at. She is mostly the reason why I am the way that I am and who I am. It's because of her. All the good things. Okay, all the good things. Now the not so good things that you see are probably because I was rebellious and stubborn and didn't listen to her. But it's really a privilege this morning to honor my mom. And to also introduce her as our guest speaker this morning on Mother's Day. So welcome my mom, Beulah Bootsy Moore.
Is that working?
It's working.
What a blessed praise and worship. Wasn't that wonderful? Oh, the presence of the Lord. How great. And also, thank you, Harold and Harvest Assembly, for that presentation for us ladies. That was so sweet. It is very special to be here, and especially on a day like today, on Mother's Day. You know, I really don't know what I'm doing up here. If there's a trait that probably he got from me, maybe, was that he can be very persistent. And he started out kind of casually and worked his way into this invitation. But at any rate, I feel very unqualified. I would much prefer my beautiful and talented daughter-in-law, Joy, to be in my shoes this morning. She's an incredible mom. Yes, she is. But you know, I've given myself afresh and anew to the Lord today, every day, many times throughout the day. I've learned that there's nothing more important than walking hand in hand with Jesus. I'd like to say just a few more words about moms. You know, the book of Proverbs is very, of course, one of the poetic books. It's very beautifully written. And Solomon wrote back in the 12th chapter, he said, about a virtuous woman. And he also said that she's a crown to her husband's head. So men, if you want to feel like a king, maybe she's your answer. Hold her to that. But also, he goes on to say in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, he says, well, the important thing is to a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And I believe we could all qualify for that. I wouldn't want to send a sign-up sheet for the rest of that 31st chapter because, really, I couldn't qualify for much of it. My kids know that sewing is one of it. But anyway, if you ever doubt your self-worth as a virtuous woman and a mother of God, read that 31st chapter, starting with the 10th verse, and it'll thrill your heart. Now, men, I have to say a few words for you, okay? We're not going to kick you to the curb today or beat on you too much. But the Bible tells me two things. The one is not appearing before you. Men, you're to be the priest of your home. What an awesome responsibility. I hope you're taking that literally and physically and acting on that, but also you're to love that wife like you love your own bodies. Now, this might be after a workout or something that you go home and you get in the shower and you look in the mirror. I do believe they're getting bigger. You're vain sometimes about those muscles. We know that. But anyway, if you love your wife like you love your body, that's going to be a pretty peaceful home. Anyway, it's just a simple instruction. And also, children, we've all been kids, and we're still kids, grown a little older. But the promise is with, the commandment really is with a promise. And he says, if you obey your parents, honor your father, honor your mother, well, it'll be well with you. And you'll live a long time on this earth. So you've got an incentive to obey your parents. And you may not like it, but as you get older, you'll see that probably it would have kept you out of a bit of problem had you learned that early on. But today, I just want to talk to you from my heart. You know, we all need someone to talk to. That's life. And as life rolls on in the pace it does, it gets worse. I do want to mention one thing here about communication. My mother has been gone 38 years, and I know you'll think I'm telling a little fib when I say I miss her every day, but I really do. She was a special mom, raised me from age 6 alone, by the preaching of the gospel. Always loved, always had her heart full of love for me and my brother. But she always told me one thing. Bootsy, you can talk to Mom about anything. You can ask her any question. It's okay to come to Mom. In fact, my kids' friends at school used to give me questions to take home to ask Mom and bring them back the answers. But anyway, that has served me so well down through the years. And even as I became a young mom and a young wife, I would go back to my mom. I honor her today. I appreciate the legacy she has left me. And I was a very blessed, blessed person. But today, again, we're going to talk about communication. Learning how to really bear your heart, bear your soul, open up the inner part of you to someone. I don't think you'd want to go to anyone on that street scene and say, I want to talk. No, they'd run over you. Just like the late Joan Rivers, you know, with her question. Well, I got to get my glasses on. Can we talk? And then she'd come up with a joke or Hollywood gossip. But can we talk this morning? I just want so much for you to know the resource you have in talking to your Lord and Savior. And I want you to understand that everything that touches you touches Him. Don't quote just talk to Him about spiritual stuff. Hey, if it affects you, it affects Him. I was saying earlier today, and I'll repeat this, why would the Lord be interested in what kind of car do I buy? He might be interested in knowing how you're going to pay for it. And He may keep you out of trouble if you'll just give Him a moment and get a little wisdom about that. So hopefully you've got a friend this morning that you could call up and say, hey, I need to talk to you. I need someone to talk to. And do that. And what a blessed thing it would be to have someone close enough that you can just share, hey, today's a bad day. I need your prayer. I need you to help me with this. But what happens when we leave that setting, as beautiful and as thankful as we are for that individual, there's still much that was left said. Maybe for embarrassment, whatever reason, you know where I'm coming from. There are things you just don't want to tell any other living human being. I used to say that to, well, I'll call him Daddy. In later years, started calling my dear precious husband Daddy. But I would just confide my heart out to that man. And yet there were a few times that maybe I was too stubborn to go. Maybe I was too stubborn to share my heart. But I could always go to Jesus. So today I would just like to talk about a man that's totally approachable, our Savior, whatever name you call him. The Bible talks to him, to us, and explains him as being the shepherd, the door. There's many beautiful, beautiful words for Jesus. But today, I just want to call him the man at the door. Just the man at the door. Now, this scripture in Revelations, the third chapter, I used to look at that as a little girl, and that's such an old picture. And I even used flannel graph figures when I was teaching Sunday school on that. I mean, it's that old. But I would look at it and I would think, yes, I've opened my heart's door and I took Jesus in and he's my Savior. And that's true. That's part of that verse. And that could be very well the subject of that verse. And of course, another subject that that verse applies to is Christ's attitude and position at the end of the church age. Now, John, all through that chapter, he was talking about the Sardis church and the Philadelphia church and the Harvest church and, Laodicea church. And we all have heard all kinds of messages about that one. That's the one where he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I need to get rid of you. But this was his position at the end. It was really the final stage of apostasy. But what I'd like to do this morning is lift that verse out of both texts and let it stand alone on its own. The man at the door. He says, behold, I stand. In other words, he's long-suffering. He's ready. He's ready to move. He's just waiting to be sent, whichever way we send him. And then he says, I knock. Now, a knock always perks a little curiosity. Kids are running to the window. Oh, dear mom, here's this woman, or whatever. And it just automatically does that. Now, the Lord's knock, the man at the door, his knock, is a drawing us aside to him. And then he says, if any man, woman, boy, or girl will hit what? Hear my voice. Now, there's a lot of voices all everywhere around us. But we need to recognize the voice of our Savior. We need to keep in tune with the drawing of the knock. It would keep us out of so much trouble. Because he's there. He's ready to help us. He wants to assist us. So, it said, if you'll hear my voice, and then what? Open the door. Now, he will never force entry. There's no knob that he's going to push or turn. But he says, we are to open the door. And I will come in to him. Oh, I feel that. When we open the door, and the light of the Son of Righteousness steps in on your circumstance, in your situation, into your world, an immediate transformation occurs. Immediately, we sang this morning, I love your presence. You see, that's what his presence does. Immediately, we're fixed. Immediately, we're shown our own condition. Now, as an example for that this morning, you know the account of Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus. I don't know which is the best way to say it, but I remember singing the song. Maybe a few of you remember that, but he went up the tree. We all sang about it because he wanted to see Jesus. Jesus was coming down the road with his followers, and he knew Zacchaeus was up in the tree, and he spoke his name, Zacchaeus. You know, he spoke Mary Magdalene's name at the tomb. Just the speaking of his name, she recognized it. And as the scripture says, my sheep know my voice. They won't follow another shepherd's voice. So I'm getting off track here. But anyway, Jesus was coming down and he says, Zacchaeus. And then he says, I want to go to your house. I want to come and abide with you. I want to go where you're living. And that shocked Zacchaeus, but the Bible says he received him joyfully, but the people that were looking on didn't like it, didn't set too well. We used to use that old expression, things didn't set too well. Anyway, they thought, what in the world is Jesus doing going to this publican's house, this tax collector? But Jesus went. And when Zacchaeus took him in to where he lived, when Zacchaeus opened the door to his abode, the transformation occurred. Just immediately. There was no preaching. There wasn't any offering. There wasn't any praise and worship. But immediately Zacchaeus says, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody or taken it wrongly, I will restore fourfold. He knew he had to set some things straight because of the presence of the Almighty where he lived. And so that is a miraculous transformation of the presence of the Lord. The scripture's coming up in Psalms, and it says about, I will settle a barren woman in a house or a home, I think the NIV says, I'm not sure which, and I'll make her a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord, and that's part of the verse, praise the Lord. That's my praise the Lord, too, about that. So anyway, Jesus, there could be a lady that's here today that has said to Jesus, I'm not even sure I should have been a mother. And I know I'm not happy when I try to feed my children. Excuse me. I try to do all the duties I'm to do as a mom. But I'm not happy. And I'm not sure I'm doing a good job. And I'm sure that I'm not rejoicing and my family isn't happy like they should be. Can you help me? And that's a bitter cup. And the Lord would take a sip and he'd say, that is a bitter cup. That's a sad way to live life. You work hard enough anyway. But then to feel that you have no happiness or no joy in it. And he says, you're looking for joy at the wrong place. He said, I'm your joy. He said, the joy in me is your strength. And you know what? You know, it must be the pulpit. I wasn't sneezing this morning till I got up here. I'm so sorry. Just something up here, Brother David. I don't know. Maybe it's the incense. Oh, dear. Excuse me. But Jesus would encourage you, if you're in that spot today, sing praises to him. Think upon the good things. Think upon how marvelous the Lord is to us, to give us life. And we breathe and we move and we can think and find your happiness in Christ Jesus and in his spirit that lives within you. His spirit within you, you should be bearing the fruit of that. And what does that scripture say? Love, peace, joy, can you help me? Patience, kindness, goodness. I love the gentleness part. No more grabbing by the nape of the neck. And then finally, self-control. You know what? No more getting on the phone and saying to the husband, you better get home, I'm gonna kill somebody. It's funny, but it's true. But Jesus would want us to find joy in what we're doing. And we need to find it in him. You know, there could be another lady that's just so confused and perplexed that she's kind of overwhelmed with everything. I've tried to be a good mom. I thought I was doing pretty good, but as the children have grown, they've gotten rebellious. And I've tried this method, and I've tried another method, and nothing isn't working. And I feel like I'm a big failure, and I'm confused, and I need you to help me. You know, I feel sorry for mothers this morning, in a way, because everywhere they go, there's these books and these magazines. You can walk through Food Line. How are your parenting skills? Are you harming your children for later years? Are you having trouble with discipline? Try my method. And listen, I'm not against self-help books. We need them. Need to read more of them. But you know, and boy, this really dates me. Hey, I don't care. Back in the late 40s, there was a pediatrician by the name of Benjamin Spock who wrote a simple book, easy reading, and it just was baby and child care. All through the 50s and the 60s, just about every mother that could have one had one. I remember I did, and I consulted it quite a bit, Harold. You were my first. But all through that book, Dr. Spock had a sentence. And before you get too carried away, if there's any Star Trek lovers yet, he didn't have pointed ears and he did have human emotions. But anyway, he would come up with this sentence, "Mothers, you know more than what you think you do." And I would encourage you as mothers today to trust in the love of the Lord, to trust in his Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear. And rely on what God has given you by making you a mother. He gave you such overwhelming love for that child. And I believe he gave you a bit of sense. How to take care of that child. In some cases, at any rate. But as Christian, as Christian mothers, we have the winning ticket. We do. Because I think, I'm not even sure where it's at, and I believe it is in, it'll be coming up on the screen here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Don't you know that you are, what? the temple of God. Thank you, Brother David. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And now what does the Holy Spirit do? Excuse me. The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit comforts. He is a resource that we go to. So as a Christian mother, we do have a double portion. And then also the scripture in 1 John, the second chapter. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful scripture. And I know John was encouraging the followers because of the false teachers that was trying to mess them up. But the scripture says, but the anointing embedded deeply within you. Christ's anointing, no less, teaches you the truth about everything you need to know. What? First, about yourself. You see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because usually, when he teaches us about ourselves, therein's the problem. When we fix ourselves lots of times, everything around us gets fixed. Or at least gets helped. Everything that you need to know about yourself and also him, it says, live deeply in what you were taught. This Holy Spirit gives you a double portion, Mom. This, of course, is good for Dad, too. And then earlier in the scripture in John, I think the 20th verse, I don't have that one to come up, but it says, you have an unction from the Holy One. Brother David, that's an old-fashioned word. I used to hear that all the time, an unction. Preachers would say, I have an unction. You know, the only thing I know to do is call it an alarm system, like a little siren on a part of the Holy Spirit that clicks off. Maybe when you're ready to make a decision. Maybe when you're ready to open your mouth to say something and you know you would have really made a lot of trouble. But that anointing, that precious unction, Scripture says, from the Holy One teaches you all things. Now that doesn't mean you're going to become a walking Google. But I believe at that moment, when you feel the unction or the draw or the knock or the tug of the Holy Spirit, he wants to help you with that immediate situation. I will tell a little story on you, Harold. And I didn't do that earlier. I'm sorry. But it hits me. It fits right here. Amen. I remember one occasion when I had a little discipline problem with Harold. And he was looking at me and with black eyes and He just had this stubborn, rebellious look on his face. And I looked at him and I said, I well remember it. I said, Harold, mother just don't know what to do but pray. And I did. I started to pray. And I prayed, was looking for the Lord to come. I prayed with my eyes open. And as I prayed, I saw the little cheekbones relax. Really, even as a child, calling on the Lord and his spirit worked. And all at once, his little muscles that his face relaxed and I was able to talk with him or deal with him about the problem. But it about shocked him. When I said, mother don't know what to do, his eyes just about popped out of his head. And you know, sometimes moms and dads, we do act like we know it all. with our kids. And sometimes we might ought to let them see that no, we don't know it all, but we're trusting one who does know it all. Praise the Lord. There could be another mother here that would say, I've prayed for children, but I'm barren. The Lord seemingly hasn't blessed us that way, and I want to be a mother. And you know, that is a grievous heartache to taste. I'm sure it must be. And the Lord would say, yes, that is a hurtful drink to sup from. Now, I'll bring this back, but the same situation could be here for you men or young adults. You may have hit a brick wall. You may have hit a dead end. Your career path may have completely gone off the rails. You may be in such financial burden that you don't really know what to do next. You may have prayed for a spouse and he hadn't shown up yet, or a wife, and it seemingly that hasn't happened. Again, you might feel you're at a dead end. You know, all through the Bible, God does miracles. He's done many a miracle with children. And we know that Abraham and Sarah is a perfect example of that and how they just about messed God up completely. But then finally, Isaac came, okay? And then in 2 Samuel, there was Elkanah who had two wives. One had children, one was barren. And the one that was barren was really bullied by the one who had the kids. And how grieved she was because she was barren. And we know the story, how she went to the temple, waited and cried, and the priest, seeing her travail, didn't understand the great need till she explained she needed a child from God. And God was faithful. And Samuel came. Now, God may not do a miracle or give you a miracle baby. That just may not be in his plan. But he's not going to leave you without hope. He's going to show you his perfect will. He's going to show you his next step. And likewise, if you've hit that brick wall, if you've hit what you feel is a crossroads for your life, his word instructs you what to do. You may not get the miracle. But Romans, the 12th chapter, very familiar scripture, says, do not be conformed to the world's thinking. And I want to say there, or to your own thinking, because lots of times we buy into the same self-defeat that we hear all around us. But the scripture says, be transformed. Transformed, the transformation, through what? The renewing of your mind to prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you've hit the dead end street, whatever way, go to Jesus. Go to the man at the door. And say, I need to find your direction. Also, a scripture I love in Romans 8 says, for a mind that is controlled by the Spirit, there is peace and life. I think it reverses. There is life and peace. Isn't that what we want? So many times, our minds, we need to allow them to be controlled by the precious anointing and the Spirit of the Lord within us to direct us how to move on. There's a scripture, of course, in Philippians we all know, don't we? I love the way it says, you know, I can do everything. Hey, that's just saying it just like it is. So when you come to that and you realize you have to turn in another direction, I can do it. I can do everything because he strengthens me. You know, young people have asked me at times about the will of God in their life. And they'd say, I've tried to pray for the will of God, but I don't know what his will is. And most times, it doesn't seem to work out to where he shows us 5 years down the road. Maybe not even 6 months down the road. But I would say to you, and as I said to them, consult the Lord, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to help you with your decisions, and then the very next decision, make it the best way you can. And the next one, make a right decision. And the next one, make a right decision. And you know, suddenly you'll find yourself on a path that you didn't know you were going to be on because of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of Jesus. There's a picture I want to bring up today. I hope you have a fun day. I just, you know, I'm looking forward to today. Get this over with. Enjoy being with family and enjoy being with your friends. Make your home a happy home. Run the old devil out if he shows up. Yeah. And make it a home of thanksgiving first to God, and then make it a home of appreciation to those around you and affirmation, not because of the hard work they do, but because of who they are in your life. God bless you. Today, make a new start for consulting that man at the door, and don't be ashamed to talk to him about anything. God bless you. Have a blessed, blessed Mother's Day. I'll go over there and sit down. Oh, thank you. I think it's the incense up here, I suppose.
Thank you, Mom. Wow. What can I say? You know, there is, as Mom was speaking this morning, I realized that as a man, I'll never fully understand what it is to be a woman or to be a mother. And I realized that being a husband, I understand so many times how the enemy comes in and he speaks lies into the lives of women and the lives of mothers. He speaks those lives, and as my mom mentioned, where we begin to believe those lies. And yet, as simple as that one scripture verse was, that he stands at the door and knocks, that he is there. And so this morning, as we close this Mother's Day celebration, I'm going to ask for all of the moms and ladies to stand in this house. And I believe that there is a power of blessing that comes as someone who has walked many, many years as a mom and as a woman and as a righteous mother and a righteous woman can speak over us and over our house. And so as we close out this morning, I'm going to ask my mom to just speak blessing over you women this morning. And so receive what the Holy Spirit has for you this morning.
Jesus, precious Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each lady that's standing now. We know that you are aware of them, and you are aware of them daily. But today we would speak a blessing on their lives. God, I ask for a double portion of the Holy Spirit and the sweet anointing, the unction, as it were, of the Holy Spirit to be upon them. And may they find such delight in you this day and the days to come. Renew them with new courage, new love, new joy, new gentleness, and new self-control. Lord, we thank you for their lives, and we commit them and their families to you. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand, please. Father, we thank you for your goodness today. We thank you for our moms. We thank you, God, for the blessing of this moment. Now go with us. And Father, may we constantly open our door to you in your name.